Here.
Yeah, I'm calling. Okay, I'm back recording. I called you on the other one because you told me to call you on the other one. So I don't know. Sometimes you're, I think your service, your bars or something, the connection wasn't going. So look, now this chick, she says, now this is in 2008. She looks for an incredible person and honest love and not gender. So yeah, she's, yeah, a sapiosexual, whatever the hell that is. She's, I don't know.
See, one of them white girls that only fucks with black guys.
Oh, she's one of them?
Yeah.
She discussed her 2011-2012 relationship with then-married Donald Trump Jr. What the fuck? Man, please, I don't want to hear nothing else she got to say, man. You know what she sounds like? She looked like the type that will fuck with a black dude and then a conservative and then this and then a sapiosexual and it looks like she's here. She was on the RuPaul's Drag Race. She looked like she gets fit in anywhere. I bet you, man, let me listen to her sing. Let me listen to her sing, man. Let me pull her up because I something's telling me that she's just trying to get in anywhere. Like she ain't got no talent. Hold on, let me listen to her sing, man. I've never heard this woman sing. Let me see. And we'll go on to the next subject. I seen some clip. She's talking about old Kanye and his size. And I say, yeah, she's a deviant, man. Like, let's talking about just. It's crazy. It's kind of like, okay, you keep talking about Diddy and sexual harassment, and she keeps talking about sexual stuff. Like, dude. All right, I still haven't heard her sing. Let me hear her singing. All right, I'm gonna pull it up. Let me hear her singing. Aubrey O'Day singing out "Leave" by J Lo. Okay, let me hear her. Oh, she sucks, bro. Diddy gets kind of bobbing his head a little bit. I've been waiting all day for you, babe. So won't you come and sit and talk to me and tell me how you see. I wish I could send this to you so you could listen to this shit. Diddy just look, he's just unmoved.
He knows this trash.
He's looking, he's not making any, he will look like he was playing with his phone. Let me play this again. He looks like he, man, just let me sign this white lady. I'll make her sell some records for you, babe. So won't you come and sit and talk to me? Tell me how we're gonna be together. Yeah, he's not. You know somebody's bored.
Danny Kane shit. That was auto-tune. Danny Kane was a
making the band. Damn, man. No, I didn't like anybody from making the band. I thought they all sucked. I'm gonna play this. There's this dude out of Mississippi. His name is Akeem Ali. I think I played for him, played you some stuff before. But he could spit. Let me play some of this stuff, man. I got to get that out of my system, bro. That just hurt my soul. It was just mayo soul. Oh man, it was bad. Jeez. Let me see here. Now this dude got some bars. This dude out of Mississippi, he got some major bars. Yeah, routing. I'ma off his ass out in broad day, pull pop it and buck the chrome. At the trial, I'ma tell my lawyer to be R. Kelly and say, I don't see nothing wrong. Nigga better talk to me like he wanna live before the burner clap. Cause once it's up, it get hot for you. Bitch, you big one with a thermostat. And you can run if you want because the stick got range, so I ain't really worried about it. And I don't got good aim, so if you stand in the crowd, I'ma point it at everybody. Hey, look, fully automatic with the titties on it, nigga. I came and seek a settlement. The chopper go. They got a speech impediment. Dog, I'm a lethal nigga. I'm dripping ether. I defeating the deceasing nigga. I'ma let the butt of this AR sit on your face. You gon' think it's Rakishi, nigga. It's about to get drastic for you. I'ma grab a strap, click clacking, and blast a nine. As soon as I stretch his ass, I'ma call the police, tell him Mr. Fantastic died. Some shit you ain't hardly seen. I'ma spark a beam, let it punch in your heart and spleen. Now we got bad blood, like mosquitoes realizing that they didn't get Charlie Sheen. That is insane. That one was insane.
Yeah. That's some fire right there.
That's some fire. He said, what did he say? He said, you're going to realize we got bad blood like mosquitoes realize they met Charlie Sheen. I'm like, damn. This is a dude. I don't think they would. Major labels, like I say, he'll do his stuff on his own. They not really going to sign him like that, I don't think. They much rather have Let me see. Look. This is what they much rather have. This is they rather have this. Let me see if I can find this. There was a song that I heard that was horrible. I'm trying to find one of the worst. I mean, it was so horrible, man. I can't find it. I don't remember what it was, but it was almost, I thought it was a joke, and it was a dude with like a real song. It was a dude with a real song. There's a
Is that his name?
No, he's from here. He's from here. It was somebody. Ah, oh, jeez. It was somebody. I can't remember what it was, but look, there were some dudes out of Atlanta that I wanted to play for you. I can't remember what their name was, but man, they now remember what you were telling me about Jay Maine and where he was going to be, where your prediction was, and you was telling me about a year ago, like, this dude's going to be a star.
Yeah.
These guys, I think they're up next, bro. I think they're up next. They're called, I think it's a group. And you know, you don't really see a lot of groups. Like, when's the last time you heard of a hip hop band or like a duo? You don't see duos.
Right. They all know that they gotta split the money.
Let me see if I can find these guys, man. Let me see if I can find them real quick. Cause these dudes, when I heard them, I said, okay, I think they're gonna be up next. Let me see. Their name is Atlanta. Let me see. Let me try to type in. Is it ATL Duo? I don't remember what their name is. They're from Atlanta. They got very weird names. It's a strange, or not strange, but their names are a little different. And it's let me see if I can find them. Oh, let me see. New Atlanta. Let me type in New Atlanta rapper. I'm on Google. You were right about Gunna. I couldn't believe it. You were right.
Ain't nobody tripping. It's a whole different era. These kids now, if you notice something, these kids now in this era, they be painting their fingernails, and it's a whole nother generation.
Yeah, you.
They've adapted some of the white society's mentality, because white America doesn't look at, you know, they don't care about snitching.
Nah, they don't.
You tell anybody in the white world, if unless you like a white dude who's involved with like drug dealing or something, there is that snitching word don't exist in the white world. And the thing with Gunna is, let's be real about it. A lot of his fans is white boys.
Yeah.
And a lot of them is not even listening to the lyrics. They don't give a fuck. A lot, they just hearing the music for street cred. You know, just to be cool. You know what I mean? I don't care. Gunna's selling more records now than before he went to jail.
That's insane.
Shit, and the old Young Thug, he getting ready to go to prison.
Who are these dudes, man? They're okay. Top 35 rappers in 2024. Let's see if I can find these dudes. Okay, they got Future, 21 Savage, Lil Baby. We know about them. Playboi Carti, Gunna, Quavo, Gucci Mane, Offset, Lotto, 2 Chainz. I haven't really heard from him in a while. T.I. Jeezy. They still got Jeezy. Nudie.
Baby. You doing TV shows now.
Baby Tate. I don't know who that is. Killer Mike. I still got to listen to that album. Shout out to Killer Mike, man.
He finished his story by winning that Grammy.
Yeah, that. So, damn, who is these? I can't find these. It was two of them. I think they're underground. Pee Wee Longway. I've always liked Pee Wee Longway. I've always liked this flow. Light skinned Keisha. I don't know who that is. Damani. Omega the Great. No. Man, what is their name, bro? I'm trying to find. These dudes sounded pretty good, man. They sounded. I'm talking about for their genre. But I can't think of their name. It was something Q something. Let me see if I can pull it up on YouTube. I'm still looking for it. Q to ATL. Let me see. Yeah, it was something. Ah, man. And the beat was kind of.
Is it Ray Schmerd?
Ray, you talking about Ray Schremer? No, it wasn't them. Yeah. You know what I'm starting to see a lot, man? And some of the stuff sounds cool. Some of it do. But I see some of these Asian drill rappers, which it looks kind of funny. I ain't gonna lie, bro. It looks kind of funny when I see them, especially like the ones like overseas. But I seen there was one lady and I'm like, she must have. You could tell they get sit back and they get study black people like a PhD. Because the way that she was rapping, I mean, she was rapping, bro, like she's been rapping her whole entire life. Like that's all she does. And I'm sitting there looking at this like she kind of reminded me of Twista. And it sounded pretty good. It sounded surprisingly pretty good. Now there's another dude that's out. I forgot his name. I was listening to some of his stuff the other night, and his wordplay. I haven't heard anything like that before, but I think it was because he was rolling his tongue and stuff like that. You know, with enunciating his stuff, like he was rolling his words, with enunciation. His name is He's from Houston. I can't remember his name, but I was listening to him and I said, and then he started, because at first I was just listening to some of his stuff and I was like, okay, it probably sounds like some regular trap stuff or whatever. But then he started rapping on a New York beat. He did a video in New York and I said, okay, like the nigga was really rapping. It kind of reminded me he was going off. You know how Old Dirty Bastard used to just go off beat, but it still sounds dope?
Yeah.
It was kind of like that.
He wouldn't be on beat a lot of times.
Yeah, ODB a lot of times wouldn't be on beat, and I think that was, you know, that was just his style. Nobody has a style like Old Dirty Bastard. He had his own personal style. But dude was rapping. It kind of reminded, he went off beat a little bit with like, and then he would start going off again. Damn, what is his name? He's the biggest Mexican rapper right now. I can't remember his name. Oh, his name is That Mexican OT. His name is That Mexican OT. Okay, you know, when I first kind of heard it, I was like, eh. And then I start kind of listening, and I'm like, he kind of did well. Big pun, it wasn't Mexican, but I'm saying for the Latinos, I ain't gonna lie, bro. I'm not gonna hate. He putting on for them Latins. He was rapping his ass off.
Pun was what, Puerto Rican?
Yeah, Big Pun was Puerto Rican. Yeah, he wasn't Mexican. You know, the Puerto Ricans, they get mad if you say they're Mexican. They get pissed. So, yeah, you do. Yeah, you don't ever call them a Mexican. They'll lose their, they might have a heart attack.
Yeah, they don't like that shit at all.
They don't like it at all. You call them a Mexican and vice versa. They is not, you know, that's almost like you done called them a nigga.
Yeah, what Diddy's doing is, with the publishing, it's no different than what Fat Joe did. Fat Joe, he always brings up the fact that he gave Big Pun's family the publishing. He didn't give it to him right away.
No, he didn't. And, you know, because when I first heard the headline, bro, I thought like, oh, this is an honorable thing, man. You giving them back, they publishing and stuff. But when I really started learning about the copyright laws, now let me look into this again. Let me see, 30-year copyright. so we could have the right information. All right. Now, check this out. Listen to this. Now, this is from MIT.edu. Reclaiming your copyright after 30 years, a new opportunity. Starting in 2013, authors begin to have the ability to reclaim copyrights they transferred to a publisher in 1978 or later. Copyright law permits authors to reclaim their copyrights 35 years after transferring rights for purposes of publication. Authors interested in reclaiming copyright need to file a notice in advance, according to a designated timetable. Now, I don't know if that still applies to music. It probably does. But let me see. 30 years, man. What the hell? You old as hell. What the hell you going to do with 30? What are you going to do with this, man? You 50. Right. If you a woman, well, you out of your sexual prime. You ain't nobody looking at you like the same way. You ain't going to be looked at as a Megan Thee Stallion or a Cardi B. You 50. That's kind of demonic, man, to do that to somebody, bro.
What? But the thing with the publishing is that if somebody owns your masters in publishing, you can't even do a show without giving them a cut if you're playing them songs.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. The show, I forgot what they call. They call that performance. Yes, performance royalties. Because so there's performance royalties, there's public royalties, there's synchronization royalties. Now look, this is from the royaltyexchange.com. This ain't me talking. Length of ownership music. Why 35 plus years? Many of the music royalty listings on Royalty Exchange list the ownership for investors as 35 years. This is because a U.S. copyright holder is able to reclaim some assigned rights after 35 years. Only U.S. rights may be reclaimed. International rights cannot be reclaimed and therefore can last 70 years after the death of an author. I'm dead and you still won't give my kids my shit. That's insane. Now look at this.
The contract.
Now look, music copyrights. Most recorded music in the U.S. is subject to dual copyrights. Now listen to this. Now this is where it gets tricky. So when people sign with Bad Boy, they're like, oh, well, P. Diddy, he ripped me off. But they never really read and understood the contract. So Diddy might have signed you, right? And you're telling him he ripped you off. Now, he probably never ripped you off. Maybe he didn't. But the thing is, now, is it morally right? No, because he probably should have told you to be moral. But if we just throwing morals out the window and say, okay, what's the law? He probably operated within the law and said, well, shit, this nigga didn't know what he was signing. Because you're not, bro. You're 19. You're not going to know. You're 19, 20 years. Dipping. You say what?
So, like, for instance, he's double dipping. So, for instance, he's hanging out with these guys when he's got them signed. He's kicking it with them, smashing bitches with them, acting like he's more than just a record label owner.
Right. That's the thing. I'm going to invite you to all the parties. You got to think. You're an artist. For a Shine or whatever. That's why they said Shine's people felt when that situation happened, his parents and his folks, they felt like, well, damn, man, you know, Shine's people felt like we put you in responsibility of this kid. This wasn't supposed to happen. You see what I'm saying? So think about it. If I'm like a Diddy or whatever, and I say, well, look, yeah, sign this deal. And you know, you're a young guy. You're 19, 20 years old. You go from just being the nigga sweeping a shop at doing a janitor job or parking cars, or you might have been selling crack or whatever you were doing. You're going from a $400 at best from a $400 to a maybe $2,000 to $3,000 life at best, to now you around Rolls Royce, all these fine holes, Cristal, all this weed, might be in a private jet tomorrow. You going to these big beautiful buildings in New York or wherever you at. You're not used to that at 19. And then you're high. Hey, you want some coke? You want some drugs? You want some white women? Here's this Cadillac. You know, you're 19, 20 years old. You ain't going to sign, bro. The average 20-year-old's going to sign. His mama's going to tell you to sign. And that's what happens, too. He'll show up to the parents, probably, right? Oh, Miss Jenkins, your son has so much talent. Yeah, I know he's been getting in trouble with school, but, you know, I'm going to take him around the world. I'm going to change his life. He probably get a mom about $100,000 or something crazy, pay her bills, buy her a new car, buy her a couch. Real, real frivolous, real materialistic. Just buy him some BS. Mama's happy because she's in the ghetto. She ain't never seen $50,000 ever in her whole life. So a lot of times the parents may be like, oh, yeah, yeah, you know, he helped us change his life and this, that, and the third. And so now you're doing the music and you got a, you know, you got a deal. Now, when you're looking at this deal, you're just looking at numbers like, oh, this is $3-4 million. For all we know, man, it might not have been a lawyer that's your own personal lawyer. Because remember, you're an artist. You don't know the music industry. You don't know who this lawyer is they paired you up with. Man, that might have been a bad boy lawyer.
Yeah. Well, you know.
For real. It might have been a bad boy lawyer or something. You know, like this whole little thing with the Young Thug thing. They trying to indict Young Thug down there in Atlanta. The district attorney, this goofy broad is running. Do you know they're investigating her because she done paid her boyfriend? That's the whole investigation down there why they want her off the Trump case. She's up there fraternizing with the help. Having relationships with people that's helping her with the case. You can't do that and you're a lawyer. You see what I'm saying? So they probably have you in there with a bad boy lawyer that's under a contract and not necessarily a bad boy employee in being a bad boy employee. And then you sign for $4 million.
Yeah, that don't even make sense.
You signed for $4 million, so you're not getting $4 million right off the rip. You just got the Cadillac and the cocaine and the white women, and you sitting there thinking like, oh, man, I'm big. I'm on TV. I'm with P. Diddy. He got me in all these parties. He done bought me a chain. Oh, man, he's a good dude. And then now 3 years down the line, when you go platinum and you kind of add it up like, all right, you know, 15 bucks a CD, platinum. Damn, that's $20 million. You're on your second album now. And let's say your sales ain't doing too well. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, you're still in these hotels. You're going on tour. Diddy done bought you. First, you had a Cadillac. Now, he done bought you a Lamborghini.
Right. He done peppered you up.
Now your second album don't go platinum. It goes gold. So, he may not be answering your calls that much. You like, damn, man, what's going on? And then he hits you with a bill. Yeah, nigga, you owe me a couple million. You're like, well, I'm ready to lead a label. Nah, you owe me. You owe me, nigga.
That's when he said, maybe owed him $3 million.
I mean, maybe he could have owed him $3 million. I mean, here's the thing. When he says he owed me $3 million, you got to look at it from the standpoint, and I'm not taking either side. But Mace ain't that bright. P. Diddy's not stupid. That nigga didn't become a billionaire for being a dumbass nigga. He became a billionaire because he signed the deals that's best for him, not for his artists. He didn't become a billionaire by being a stupid ass nigga. You can't become you cannot be a black man in America and make it to that degree with being stupid. You can't. Now you might be a demon, you might be an evil bastard, but stupid, you're nowhere close to that. So, you know, if he said he owes him $1 million, what's $3 million to Diddy? That ain't no money. He probably really do. He probably does. Maybe he does. I mean, you know, I'm quite sure he has the receipts. You see what I'm saying?
But yeah, he probably did.
But now in comparison, let's get back to Snoop Dogg. First, let's read this music copyright real quick. Now, from pre-1978 works This is quoted by the Alter and Kindred's Guide to Copyright Duration. Works created and copyrighted that is registered or published prior to January 1st, 1978 is protected for 95 years from the date of the copyright was originally secured. So the 95 years divided into an initial term of 28 years and a renewal term of 67 years. Okay? So now post-1977 works created after January 1st, 1978 are protected for the life of the author plus 70 years. In the case of a joint work, protection continues for 70 years after the death of the last surviving author. So, copyright reclamation, the U.S. copyright becomes eligible for rights reclamation 35 years after it is assigned to another entity. This gives a songwriter or an estate the option of reclaiming the copyrights they've assigned to others. Copyright reclamation is only applicable to domestic rights, so foreign royalties aren't reclaimable. So, yeah, if I sign you to Bad Boy and you went triple platinum, Mace, in 1997, and you sell double platinum in Italy and, you know, you go over to Australia and do a tour and you jumping around with kangaroos and wandering spiders. Yeah, nigga, you ain't getting it. You ain't getting it.
Nah, you ain't getting shit.
You ain't getting nothing. So when he says, yeah, you owe me $3 million. Maybe he's like, yeah, nigga, you do owe me $3 million, Mace. You do. You see what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I'm just reading the copyright thing is, so yeah, it's 35 years. Faith, Stevie J, all y'all 50 years. Y'all niggas old now. Here, take this shit back. I don't need it. I done got everything I need. And yeah, I don't know if that's all of the copyright or all of the publishing, but you know, it was probably, you know, now, if you're somebody like Smokey Robinson, you straight.
You're good.
Who are they gonna play more, Faith Evans or Motown? Motown.
Motown, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they might play a little Faith Evans here and there. You know, it might be like an old movie or somebody want, or you know, whatever. But Smokey is gonna win. Smokey Robinson. Is going. Let's look up Smokey real quick before we go to the Snoop Dogg hits. I'm just curious. Okay, so Smokey's a vampire. This nigga's 84. Don't look nothing like 84. He's a vampire. So he okay. So Smokey was. It looks like he met Robinson and the Miracles met songwriter Berry Gordy after a failed audition for Brunswick Records. That was in 1957. So Smokey's probably been with Gordy since the beginning. All right, now Smokey Robinson, I want to see what all the stuff he wrote. It's probably so many that they can't even. All right, I'm trying to see how many songs he wrote. I'm just talking in terms of like copyrights and stuff. Man, I'm gonna pull this up on chat. Let me look up the chat. How many songs? Oh no, I got this little app. How many songs did Smokey Robinson write? Holy shit. That's why I didn't come up. That's why I didn't come up, bro. You were always asking, like, how many songs did he write? Because I was trying to get all the... I'm going to find what's the main songs. He's co-written over 4,000 songs.
Damn.
So that's my point. Is, you know, you done damn wrote... That nigga probably done wrote all the damn hits in America. All of them. Every single last one, that nigga probably had something to do with damn near. Because, you know, there's a lot of covers. You know, like with Elvis and all that kind of stuff. Like I say, a lot of them folks, They just sat around black folks and went to black churches. They never had any talent. They just sat around like black churches and went to black revivals and stuff. And then they just picked up some game. And, you know, they just probably got a black band and they just took the soul and they just whitened it up. You see what I'm saying? That's all they really did. They, when you look at some of these old songs that Elvis did, and you're like, well, damn, man, Chuck Berry did those, or whoever did it. You know, most of them songs that they did that were hits was something that black Americans then already did probably 15, 20 years ago or 10 years ago or something. And maybe the hit's big now because it's a white person. So, you know, when they listen to it, like even when you listen to the I think what's his name that was with Tina Turner? Ike Turner. Ike Turner was breaking that down. The difference between just the swing of the songs. The swings in the song, they just don't hit the same.
Right.
They just don't. When they do the song's just, it's real stiff and rigid. And when the brothers do the song, the songs just all over, like you could feel it. You see what I'm saying? So that's pretty much the, okay, what was his top 20 songs? Track of Tears, The Miracles. What was the biggest songs he wrote? All right, let's see. Temptations, My Girl. He wrote that.
Yeah, he wrote some hits.
How often have you heard My Girl on TV?
A lot.
You see what I'm saying? So now that's a. I think that's a performance royalty, but it's probably a synchronization royalty. It's probably a synchronization royalty. So that's important. At this point, no black artists, man, should have a sharecrop deal yet, and still some of them still do. You still have somebody every now and then belly aching about a bad deal. Megan Thee Stallion was bitching about a deal not too long ago.
Yeah.
You know, she was complaining about a bad record deal or something like that, you know?
She got out of it, I think.
I think so. I think she might have got out of it. Now let's go into this. Before we get ready to close. Oh, it's only 11? Okay. All right, we're doing good. All right, now look. Now, Snoop. Snoop, when he came out, now you were saying that a lot of stuff flopped. You said, well, he had some flops. Now, when Snoop came over from Suge Knight, okay, let's go back. Let's see what it. All right, so it looks like '93. Let me see. When did that Doggy Style came out? Was that '96?
I think '94.
'94? You sure? I think Doggy Style was 90. Was it 90? I thought it was 93. 94. Maybe it was 94. Yeah, maybe it was 94. So, okay. Now, remember I was telling you what the murder was a case. They, I guess, figured they'd capitalize off of that. 93, he was charged with first-degree murder of shooting of a rival gang member who was actually killed by Snoop's bodyguard. Now, you remember that.
Snoop was 82.
You said
what? The kid that he killed was Eritrean.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't know that. Yeah, they blamed Snoop for it. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know why Snoop got charged.
The kid pulled his gun out and was, you know, talking shit to Snoop.
Oh.
So the bodyguard shot him. And if somebody shoots somebody on your behalf, you'll be held responsible.
Okay. Okay, yeah, so he was charged with that first-degree murder, and he was acquitted February 20th, 1996. So They made that film, remember, Murder Was the Case, released in 94 with the soundtrack. And then it looks around, it looks like July 6, 95, they said Doggy Style Records. Snoop went ahead and filed him. Snoop went ahead and got Doggy Style Records going, I think, as an LLC. Maybe he was thinking like, well, man, maybe I need to get my own thing going just in case. So he came. Okay, so it's not telling a whole lot about. So let me see. Looks like Dr. Dre and Snoop, I think Snoop was on the first album, Deep Cover, and then on the Chronic. Let's see here. Doggy Style came out. Okay, let me get the discography real quick. I want to get the times good. I want to get the times good. So Doggy Style came out in 93. You're right. Doggy Style was 93 and The Dog Father was 96. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, that came out in 96. So he signed with Master P in March 98. And then he came out with The Game Is to Be Sold, Not to Be Told. I'm going to be honest. I didn't really bother even listening to that album really too much. But it was a platinum hit. I didn't really bother with that album because I didn't think it was going to be a good, I wanted to hear a West Coast album, you know. So, yeah. All right. So, look. So, let's go to Snoop Dogg discography. All right. So, Doggy Style, which was a great album. That went 6 times platinum. I don't think it went six times platinum the first time it came out. But it was released 93. It probably went platinum or double platinum when it first came out. And then The Dog Father went double platinum. And I think it went gold overseas. It went gold overseas, platinum overseas, and gold somewhere else.
Oh, I'm sure.
Now, The Game Is to Be Sold, Not to Be Told. That went double platinum. That came out in 98. No Limit Top Dog. That went double platinum. The Last Meal. That went double platinum. Pay the Cost to Be the Boss. Went platinum. Rhythm and Gangsta. That went almost double platinum. And it went platinum and gold a whole bunch of other places overseas. The Blue Carpet Treatment. That went gold. It almost went platinum. Ego Tripping, that went now he left Master P, The Last Meal. He came out with the album called The Last Meal.
Yeah,
that had a couple hits. Remember that Lay Low? Yeah.
Hold on, DP, this phone's getting ready to die because I didn't have it charged enough.
Okay.
So I think I might have to get off the line here tonight.
Okay, we'll continue.
Yeah, we'll continue. It was great being on.
Thanks. I appreciate it, man.
You got it.
Peace.